Sefer Vayikra begins Vayikra El Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elov Me'oil Mayid Lemar. The very first word Vayikra has a small aleph, which many discuss why the aleph is small. The Baal Turim says that the reason why there's a small aleph there is because Moshe Rabbeinu was a great anav. And because he was a great Anav, so the Aleph is small. What is the meaning of that, the Aleph? So the Baal Turim explained in Bamidbar, in Kapitel Chav Gimel Pasuk Dalad, when the Ribbono Shel Olam called to Bilam, it says in the Lashon of Vayakar, not with an Aleph at the end, but Vayakar meaning more of a happenstance. Ribbono Shel Olam happened to call out to Bilam. Not that he wanted to speak to him, not that he had an interest in speaking to him, but he happened to speak to him. He had to speak to him about something, but not that he wanted to. Vayikra with the Aleph is a lashon of Chavivus, that Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's a level of Chashivus. Vayikra. I'm taking the time to come to you. That was a level of Chashivus. There's an interesting Rosh. The Rosh says something ke'enze, similar, but not quite. And he explains that it says Vayikra El Moshe. It starts off with Vayikra El Moshe. Moshe was such an honor, told the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're putting an Aleph, you want to say Vayikra, and you want to say El Moshe to me. It bothers me. I'm such an honor, and I don't want it. People are going to say, wow, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a chash of a person, he has an Aleph. It bothers me, I don't want it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, but I don't have a choice. Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's because if I take out the Aleph, I can't put you on the level of Bilam. You have to understand that. I understand you don't want to get the covet, but I can't make it like you Bilam. That's a bizarre. Can't do that. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, so the Ribbono Shel Olam, do me a favor. Put a small Aleph there. So everyone should know, and everyone's going to learn the Torah, and they're going to see Vayikra Moshe, and they're going to see a small Aleph, they're going to know, I didn't want it. You chose it. Ribbono Shel Olam chose to give it to him, but it wasn't something that I was looking for, something that I wanted. A little bit of a different spin than the Baal Turim. The Baal Turim is more the classical, and the Rosh is, you know, that people know, but there's a little bit of a different spin. There's a question that bothered me for a long time, and it's a very simple question. Vayikra Moshe. So we want to say that over here, Moshe was an Anav. If you look in Sefer Shmos, Kapitel Yotes, Pasuk Gimel, there's a very interesting pasuk because it says Moshe Allah Elokim Vayikra Elav Hashem. We have the word Vayikra. The Ribbono Shel Olam called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is the Torah wait until Sefer Vayikra and Parashas Vayikra to tell us the small Aleph and Moshe is none of? What happened over here? Over here it didn't bother Moshe Rabbeinu. Over here Torah does not tell us Moshe is none of.
And the other place did he use the small Aleph?
There's no small Aleph here. That's my question. My question is if you want to pick one place to put the small Aleph, put it the first one. If you put it by the first one, so I can understand the rest of them. But we have, before this Vayikra, we have one without the small Aleph. So if that's the case, why didn't it say it over here? Over here he was a Balgaivik, Chas V'Shalom, and he became an Anav over here. What happened? So I believe I mentioned the Gemara a few weeks ago, the Gemara Nedarim and Aflam Metches. The Gemara says there are four things to qualify to be an Avi. You have four characteristics. You have to be a Gibor, you have to be an Ashir, you have to be a Chacham, and you have to be an Anav. You have to be a mighty person, some say you have to be tall, you have to be rich, you have to be wise, and you have to be humble. Those are the four characteristics needed. Understanding that, first of all, there's a Ben Yoyada who asks, who explains, he says, there's really only one midah that you really need. What's the midah that you need? You have to be humble. That's the main midah. For the Ribbono Shel Olam to rest the Shechinah on someone, and for them to get nevuah, they have to be humble. That is the most important trait. Why do you have to be a Gibor, an Ashir, and a Chacham? Because someone who is weakling, someone who is weak, and someone who is not wise, and someone who is poor, and he's an Anav, that doesn't show true humbleness. It doesn't show true anivus. You have nothing to be a big shot about. So you're humble. Maybe if I made you rich, you wouldn't be so humble. Maybe if I made you a Chacham, you wouldn't be so humble. You have nothing to be a big shot about. So the Ben Yehuda says that the other three characteristics are needed to qualify the Jirnanov. How do we know that someone's a Jirnanov? How do he himself know? A person can be truly humble. But all of a sudden, people, they can be truly humble and they get rich and they're not humble anymore. They're the biggest big shots in the world. So how do you know that the person's a Jirnanov? Only after he has the other three things. So that's why you need to have all four characteristics. So if we understand that, Ben Yehuda, we can answer this
question. What are the characteristics again?
Ashir, which is rich. Gibor, strong, according to some of the lashon of Kaim, about Kaim be tall. Chacham, wise, and Anav is humble. Those are the four. And then Yehuda says you only really have to be humble. That's the only real qualification you need. But the only way to qualify if you're really humble is to have the other three. If you're rich and you're strong and you're wise and you're still humble, that shows you're really humble. You're truly humble. So with that, we can answer very simply. We know this, what I quoted in Kapitel Yutes, Pasuk Gimel, that the Vayikra Elav, it says it already, Vayikra Elav Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was called by the Ben Hashem Vayikra, this happened in Parashas Yisrael. We know in Parashas Kisisa, a few Parashas later, in between this Vayikra and our Vayikra, it says Moshe Rabbeinu got rich. After the eagle, he broke the first Luchas Moshe Rabbeinu. But from the second luchas, they carved out the luchas from this very precious stone. Mm-hmm. And the pasuk tells us, and Rashi explains, that Moshe Rabbeinu got the say list the leftovers of this luchas. There were some little shirayim, little pieces left over. And then Rashi tells us he became very rich from this. He wasn't rich beforehand. So the answer is that the reason why Vayikra is a small aleph over here, not before, is because if it would have said it over here, it wouldn't show Chua Nevis yet. He wasn't rich. As we just explained. So if Moshe Ben at this point, he was a Chacham, yes. He was a Gibor, he was a Balkaima, yes. But he wasn't rich. So if we tell us over here he's none of us, that doesn't prove he's a Chua Nevis. It's only now, the first time after he became rich, and now he has every reason in the world to potential, not every reason, Chas V'Shalom, there's no reasons, but why a person by nature would become a Balgaiver, because he has everything. He's a Chacham, he's an Asher, and he's a Gibor. Now the player comes to tell you, you should know, Moshe Rabbeinu now has everything, and he's still Anav. And he's had this small Aleph testifies that Moshe Rabbeinu was the man of Anav. A little later in the Parashah, Kapitel Dalet, Pasuk Chavez, Pasuk says, "Asher nosi yechta, va'os achas mikol mitzvus Hashem alikov asher lo yaseyesena b'shgoga v'ashem." The Torah goes on to tell us about the karbonos that a nasi, a leader of Klal Yisrael, when he does a chet, what karbonos he has to bring. Now the question is, if you look at all the other karbonos that have to be brought, it always has a lotion of v'im kol da'as Yisrael yishku, if v'im nefesh achas techta v'shkava, if v'im, all these things are if. Over here it doesn't say im, it says asher nosi yachta, that he, when he will do it, when he will do a sin, this is what he has to bring. What is the pasuk telling us? The nosi is going to sin, as does everybody. But sometimes the leaders, or not even, sometimes not even the leaders, but especially the leaders, even the greatest of Klal Yisrael, will do chaton. The Gemara Chazal tell us, the nature is people do chaton. You have to care that you did it, you have to try to do tshuva for it, but you have to admit to it. So the pasuk is telling us, Ashe yechta, that it's going to happen. You should know it's going to happen. And if you're going to be a big shot, and the Nasi is going to say, so I didn't, you're going to convince yourself that, you know, I didn't do it, or it's going to say, Im, the Pasuk wanted to say, listen here, Nasi, you should know you're also going to do a sin. So if something comes your way, don't convince yourself as, well, can't be. If I did it, it must be right. And then he makes rise to this. We see Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan, we know, he went and he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Bani Shalom comes to him and says, what happened there? What is that other Mauritian answer? He doesn't say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The Chazal explained that was his downfall. If he would have right away, he blamed it right away on someone else. If he would have right away told the Baruch, I'm sorry, you're right, there's no excuse, I shouldn't have done it, then he would have been forgiven easier. It's only because right away, throw the blame. Me? The wife that you gave me this person, it's her fault, it's not me. We see someone who did it the right way. Yehuda, it said he lost his malchus. When the brothers, when they sold Yosef after, they had charata, and they told Yehuda was no longer the melech. Before the maisa of Mechiras Yosef, when the brothers sold Yosef, Yehuda was the king over the brothers. He was the melech. But when they, after they sold him, the brothers had charata, and they deposed him. They said, you're no more the melech. When did he get back his malchus? We know Yehuda is still malchus. Till today, David comes, we know that Yehuda is malchus. So what brought him back to malchus? When Tamar was being led out to be killed, and she didn't give him up, and he said, Tamar was holding his scepter, and he said, Tamar said, you know, the person that who owns this, he's the one who made me pregnant. He's the one that he's the one. But she didn't give him up. What did he say? Yehuda said, Tzad Kamimani. She's the one. She's the one. She's right, not me. Yehuda could have had all the cheshbonos in the world. This was in front of Yehuda was sitting on a bezin. It says Yehuda was sitting on a bezin with Yaakov Avinu, with according it says Yitzchak Avinu and Shem. The question how Shem was why, but it says Yehuda was sitting there with the Gedolei Hador, the other sectation. He could have said, listen, why didn't Yehuda get up and say, hold on, new evidence came to light. Don't kill Tamar. Don't kill her. We're going to do research. We're going to look into it. We're going to try to see what happened. And 6 months would have gone by, and then he could have let her free. It wasn't a choice of, oh, Yehuda felt that if he's not going to say something, she's going to get killed. He didn't have to admit right away. He didn't have to admit. He could have justified himself. It's a Chil Hashem. I'm Yehuda. I'm sitting on the bezin. I can't do it. Let me do a Shtila Hayit. Everyone's going to be, you know, do this under the table, and I'll get Tamar out of jail. She'll get free. She won't get killed, and everyone's happy. The godless of Yehuda, being the malchus, being a leader of Klal Yisrael, is not thinking about himself, not making such cheshbonos to say, "Oh, Chil Hashem." No, I did it. I'm the one. I have to get up now and say, "Tzad Kamimani." She's righteous. I'm the one that did it, and let her free. That's what brought Yehuda back to his malchus. That is the godless. And the pasuk is telling us, "Asher nasi echta." No matter how great you are, and people, and this applies to all leaders, quote unquote. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is a leader. They're supposed to be leading their family, their friends, the people around them. You're not supposed to sit in a hut and learn Torah and become a tzaddik. You're supposed to have an effect on people around you. That's the reason. Olam chesed yibane. You're supposed to do chesed with another. You're supposed to have an effect on others. So the parasha starts with Vayikra, with the small aleph that Moshe was the greatest anav. And you should know when it comes time to doing a chet, you should also be humble. You shouldn't become a big shan and say, it can't be I did a chet. How could it be? It's a balgaivet that can say, it's not possible for me to have done a chet. So that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that you should be humble. And that's parkeret. And you should know that lemaisa, that the most respect someone will get is when he admits his mistake. If someone admits his mistake, people respect that more than anything else. If they realize that you're not admitting it, but you really did something wrong, then people lose all respect for those people. Capital Bays starts off V'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha l'Hashem seiles yiyah korbanoi v'yotzak Allah Hashemin v'nosan Allah l'vayim. So we have the korban mincha, you bring flour and oil and frankincense. It goes through a whole bunch of psukim here, and then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'chol korban minchascha b'melach timloch v'loisash bis melach b'selekecha mal minchascha al kol korbanecha takir melach. The pasuk drives home that on every carbon mincha, and then every carbon, you have to have salt. So the obvious question is if salt is one of the ingredients, first of all, why didn't it say it in the beginning? It's giving you a list of ingredients. V'nefesh tisakir carbon mincha l'Hashem, sorry, let's see, yeah, carbonoi, v'yotzik l'Hashem, that's an alabayna. Why didn't it say amish for melach? Tell us already now. What are we saving it till the end? And it stresses it so strong, and it tells us that v'loisash bris melach bris elikecha. This is a bris elikecha. What's this bris elikecha? Some sort of covenant with the melach. What's going on over here? The Sefer Achinuch explains mitzvah kuf yedayim, that the mitzvah of melichas hakorban is meramez on the qualities of the salt, is the qualities of what a carbon has to be. What does salt do? Salt gives food its taste, gives it some flavoring, but aside from that, salt also preserves. The Sefer Achinuch says the salt is supposed to be for the neshama. The bris between the Klai Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam is that we're supposed to do things in a flavorful way. In other words, when you do a mitzvah, it shouldn't be dull and bland, but it should be that you want to do the mitzvah. And it should also be in a way, if you do it this way, what you're doing is you're preserving your nefesh. And you're keeping your nefesh fresh. And it should be done with melach, with salt, to keep things fresh and flavorful. It says in Medrash HaGadol, when the Ribbono Shel Olam, beginning of Bria Sa'olam, he made a separation, Ve'yavdil ben hamayim asher mitachas ha'alikia, there's a firmament, and the waters were split. There were some mayim that were put below the firmament, the rikia, and some above. The mayim from below came to complain to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not fair. Till now, we were near the kisei kavod. Now that you're making us below the rikia, and you're putting us specifically below, we're not near anymore. It's not fair. Why are we getting chosen to be away from the kisei kavod? So the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, don't worry. What we're doing for you instead is on every carbon, there's going to be melach. The salt comes from the water. And the water, we're going to have nisach hamayim on sukkahs. That's what the Medrash HaGadol says. It's a very interesting emissary, Yaakov Kamenetsky. He explains this, what's happening over here. He says, why is the bris with the melach, the salt, not the mayim? The salt is something that's in the water. But water is the main thing. He says, the mayim and tachas alarikia. So the mayim is the main thing. The salt is just a byproduct. It's not the main thing. So why is Ribbono Shel Olam to make it, to appease the water, he told the water, don't worry, we're going to use your melach. We're going to use the salt. Yeah, nisach hamayim, that's one time a year. But in every carbon, we're going to use the melach. Why didn't he say that in every carbon they use the water? That would have been a greater consolation. Why did Ribbono Shel Olam specifically use melach? So he explains, the Gemara in Ksubis and the Samach Tes, Rashi over there explains how salt comes about. He says there's a seaside property that can hold on the seaside. The property on the seaside contains ditches into which the salt water enters. It's trapped there. It gets trapped in a ditch. The sun comes out, and the sun dries up the water. The water condenses and goes up to Shemayim, goes up into the heavens, into the atmosphere, and goes up, and the salt is left behind. So Yaakov says that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam made the bris with the melach, with the salt, is to tell the water, tell the mayim tachas alakia, that not only am I going to use the main part of you, the mayim, but I'm even going to show you even the small stuff, the salt, which is not an important part of the water. I'm using that. That's how important you are. And that's going to be brought on every carbon, and every single carbon is going to have something. The lowest of you is going to be on the carbon, which is showing a greater chashiv. And Yaakov says, with this, you say that we have to try to take even the small mitzvahs and the things that we don't look at as important. Everything can be melach. The unimportant things in life, the gashmias, all these things, we can take it and we can bring it on the carbon, on the mizbeach as a carbon, and we can elevate the status of even the smallest, the refuge, what we consider the shirayim, the salt, what's left over in the ditches after everything else is there, and everything else is gone, the water is gone, that also can be used. There's Satan in Biakas. Shach Al-Tere says, what is this lashon of bris? Loisash bis melach bris elikech. So he says, bris, it's the same bris like Klai Yisrael has with Ribbono Shel Olam to Torah HaKadosh. We know that if there's no Torah, there's no Bria, there's no world. The whole entire world stands on Torah. He says the melach also has this, that when you're bringing the carbon, the melach, because it's a bris, represents that part of the Torah. I didn't know this before I saw the Shach. The Shach says when they brought the karbanos, what were they doing when they brought the karbanos? They were learning Torah. When the Kehanim brought all the karbanos on the Mizbeach, they were learning Torah while they were doing it. I never knew this. It was very interesting. You know, well, what are they doing? Just standing there, sitting there, Shach and Kabbalah. No, they were learning Torah. That they should realize and know that everything is taught. The same way the carbon can bring about a kapara for anyone that's bringing a carbon, or it could be a carbon taido, a carbon shalom. But the ikir is that it's all telling you about the Torah. Without the Torah, you don't have anything. And it says ba melach. The word ba melach is the same thing. Ba melach is the same thing as is a remez to balachem. It's the same letters. Bamelach is the same as balachem, and he says that it's a remez to the lachma shel teira, the bread of teira. In other words, the real sustenance. We heard the term that there's no in ein kemach ein teira, and in ein teira ein kemach. He says is that without the bread of this world, there's no teira, and without teira, there's no kemach. So even when they're bringing the karbonis, they had to remember to keep that everything is with the melach representing the Torah Kedusha. Yeah, always the Bei Moshe says in Pirkei Avos, there were three kesers, there are three crowns that a person can get. There's Torah, Kuhuna, and Malchus. And he says, Yeser al kulam is Shem Tov, and what's greater than all of them, the greatest of all three. One that's greater than all of them is Shem Tov, having a good name. So Ben Moshe says, why doesn't he just tell you there are four crowns and the greatest one is Shem Tov? What does it mean? There are three and the greatest one. There are four of them. So he explains that the reason, the way the Pirkei Avos is saying is that there's three. There's only three. But if you don't have the Keser Shem Tov, the fourth one, then you don't have any three of them. So the three are separate. And if you don't have the fourth one, you have nothing. Because if you don't have a Shem Tov, and you're not doing things, you don't have a good name, and you're not doing things properly, then the other Keser, if you're not doing Learning Torah properly, you don't have the other things properly, then it has nothing. The Bei Moshe explains that that's the Yisag over here with the Melach. The salt, again, is to explain this Yisag of doing things with flavor. Putting flavor into our learning, putting flavor into all the mitzvahs we do. And the reason why it says it at the end over here, why isn't it put it together with the beginning? Why isn't it listed? It's not just an ingredient, melach. It's not an ingredient. There's soilas, there's shemen, there's levoina, and there's melach. No. If you don't do it with melach, if you don't do it with the salt, and you don't do it with the flavor, you don't do it lishma, you don't do it while you're learning Torah, then the whole thing is worthless. If you're missing one of the ingredients, it's important also. But you should know every single time you bring a carbon, and this refers to all the mitzvahs, that everything has to be done with this melach. It has to do with flavor, with meaning, and that's why it's separate. It says no, it's not just tamei. The same way we had the three keser, and there's one above it that without the fourth one, there's no three. So the same thing over here. The melach is separate. It's not just an ingredient. It's something that's an integral part of every carbon. Just say one quick thing to get us started on Haggadah. Next week, I'll talk about Haggadah. I saw last night a pshat from the Mariyah. Echad mi'edeya. Echad ni'edeya. I go through this whole thing. Who knows one? One is Hashem. Two, who knows two? Two is the Luchas. And what is this whole thing about? What are we doing? What are we saying? What is the point in it? So the Mariyah says, it says in Kehelas, he has a kash, it says in Kehelas, Kapitel Dal Pasik says, Yesh echod ve'en shen yigam ve'en ve'ochin lo ve'en keitzachol amole, toivim den good Pasik test, toivim hashnayim in echod. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. The Rebbein Yishalem is one. The Rebbein Yishalem is yichod, one in the world is Rebbein Yishalem. So if that's the case, so he's saying is the Rebbein Yishalem Cain is not so good. Two is better. We're saying the Rebbein Yishalem is one. Two is better. He says that the whole reason why we go through this whole long thing, but what do we do every time we say two? We say two, we go back to one. We go to three. Because you always have to come back to one. You should know that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Yichud, we have to focus that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, is that everything comes from Him. So when we're counting back, it doesn't mean Shnei Luchai Sabris, there are two, and then there's one Ribbono Shel Olam. But rather, there's two, and where did the two come from? The two came from the one of Hashem. And when you count three, Shloisha Avos, you gotta go back always. Why do we keep on counting each time? We have to go, we get up to 13, we gotta go all the 12, 11, 10, we already know that. Because you have to stress that everything in this world, the Shloisha Avos, the Chamish Chamish Teira, everything could boil down to one thing. You keep on counting down, Echad Alekenech Bashmayim. Have a good Shabbos. Sure, I mean, so sure.